Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. You heard the story of the two boys that always fought on Sundays because they went to different churches. One boy was in a different church than the Baptist church, and the mothers thought they ought to go to church together sometime, one church and one at the other church, so they could see what was alike, what was different, so forth, so they wouldn't fight so much on Sundays. So they went to first church. The first boy was explaining what all was going on and doing this, doing that. And second Sunday they went to the Baptist church, and the little boy was watching everything, and the Baptist boy was telling him what was doing. We stand up and we sing here and we do this and we take an offering. And the preacher got up and took off his watch, set it up there on the pulpit. The little boy leaned over to his Baptist friend. He said, "What does that mean?" The little Baptist boy said, "Not a stinking thing." Well, I'll try to keep my time in mind. Let's stand as we honor God's Word together. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read just a few verses. I don't really have an outline per se to this message, but I just preach it the way it is, okay? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 14. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." And I'll just stop right there for now. Father, we pray that you will bless your word. Help us to honor the preaching of your word as it's already been done today and all this week. And God, how we thank you for allowing us to share in these things. We pray, God, that you will just help me to say what needs to be said today. Direct our thoughts to your word. Show us the importance of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I know I'm talking to a lot of learned men here, and you know that Peter is writing this, his second epistle, the only two epistles that are ascribed to Peter, but he is writing in a sense of urgency here because he knows, as he says here in verse 14, that shortly he's going to put off this my tabernacle, as he says, and we know what that means is he's going to lose his body to death. He's going to die. He knows he's going to die. And he says the Lord Jesus Christ has showed him. So he knows this by revelation. I don't think he was necessarily writing from jail. I don't know that. But he knows that he's going to die very soon. And It's important that he share some things with other people of God.
Right.
And so he says, verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." These are things that you've got to keep in mind, not just occasionally, not just when you feel led to think about these things, not when they just happen to come to mind, but have these things always in remembrance. And verse 16 gets very pointed. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now, sometimes we encounter people who think that the Bible was contrived by a bunch of men, And Peter wants to make it clear that we didn't sit around, we didn't rent a hall out and get around a round table and say, now we got Mark here. Mark's a good young man. He can write. We'll get him to write a little bit of history about Jesus. He can put some things together. We'll get Luke. There's a learned man. We'll get Luke in. He can write some history too, and he'll use big words. That'll make it more believable. And John was right there with Jesus, right there leaning on his breast. He'll be good. John can write some good things. And oh, there's this up and comer, fellow named Paul. We'll get him to write some real religious doctrinal stuff. You know, so this will be good. I think we can put together a great New Testament, and we'll find some people that can put together some things that we'll call the Old Testament. We can put this thing together, and it will be a bestseller. Right? That's what the world thinks. But Peter wants to make it clear, and I shiver saying this because I am a certified English teacher. But Peter wants to make it clear that ain't so. It just ain't so. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses." In other words, these things are factual. These may be things, matters of faith, but they are factual. We saw them. We were witnesses. We were there. We were right there when it happened. What was it specifically talking about? Verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory." What was that voice saying? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Now, you know your New Testament. You know that actually happened twice.
Yes.
It happened once at the baptism of Christ, and then it happened somewhere else. Well, Peter wants to focus on somewhere else. So where was that? He says, "And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount," what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter knows how important this particular passage of history was, because he was right there sticking his size 14 foot in his mouth saying, "Wow, Lord, you're here and you're talking to Moses and Elijah. Let's build 3 tabernacles. This is great. We can have 3 chapels up here." And he may have been thinking we could even charge admission. I don't know. I don't know what all was going on in his head, but he wanted to do something religious and wanted to do something to make this day special in everybody's mind that could possibly come up they would travel down the road by the mountain and there would be a sign there, "Visit the Mount of Transfiguration this way." And he says, that was great. That was wonderful. Now, you know, if you had been one of those men there that day, and had seen that transfiguration, you would be going back, jumping all around, yelling, "Woo! You got to see. I wish you could have seen what we saw. This is great stuff. This is wonderful stuff. You should have been there. You should have seen it. It's wonderful. Now we know He is the Christ. Now we know." Then verse 19 comes along. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now let's put all this together. He says, you trust me. You trust the others that were there. You believe us when we told you what we saw, how that Jesus was transfigured, how that He was standing there talking to Moses and Elijah. You know what we saw. You believe us. You trust us. You know it for real. But as much as you believe us, forget that and start leaning upon this more sure word of prophecy. Forget all that. Because experience can do a lot of things. Early this morning, my wife and I woke up to the smell of skunk outside our motel room window being drawn in. Well, I was having a dream. And when I woke up, I had to ask my wife, "Do you smell skunk?" The reason was that skunk smell made its way into my dream. And I was dreaming that I was going to have to go outside some building and I was that for somebody that I knew and go outside that building and find that stinking skunk and get rid of it. And I thought it was all a dream. And so my wife verified that, yeah, there's skunk smells made its way in. Okay, well, I'm not just having a dream and a vision. Even though, yes, I know, I should have had that small piece and not that big piece. But regardless, a vision can be dreamt up.
Right, sir. Exactly.
And when I first woke up, it was quite real to me that I was supposed to go get rid of a stinking skunk. And my wife verified to me, yeah, it's real. But me going after it wasn't going to happen. Okay? Peter says, yes, we had a great experience. We were on that mountaintop. We saw things that just too hard to explain. I can't tell you about it, you know, so it really makes you understand what we saw. But Jesus was different. And Moses and Elijah were there. And they were different. Of course, I don't know how he would know that they were different. They didn't take photographs, you know. So, but he says, in spite of how different and exciting this experience was, you forget that. You quit living on experiences and visions and dreams. Forget that. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, my wife and I out on the road right now, we're in a lot of different places that we're not familiar with. And when we're in those places, we like to do something. We take out a little nightlight and put it where we can see when I have to get up in the middle of the night. Because I don't like kicking things barefooted. Well, that light shines in a dark place to direct me.
That's right.
And you need to follow this book, this more sure word of prophecy that shines in a dark place. Why can we do this? Because we know this first thing to know about the Word of God is that it is the Word of God.
Amen.
But it's not of any private interpretation. Allow me to make a comment about this. I think that Scriptures, there's a twofold meaning to this passage. I think he means that in one sense, you don't take the Word, what you read, and try to understand it without understanding the passage that it's in, what we call context. You understand it in the context that it's written in, so you read it in context. But I think it also has another meaning. I think it means that you don't try to interpret this by yourself. Now, somebody out there may be thinking, oh, you mean we need to call Brother Shepherd and ask him what this verse means every time we're reading our Bible and get him to explain it to us? Is that what we do? No, there is someone else you go to, and it's the author of the book. Go to the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. Because it came not in old time by the will of man. So why would you go to a man? Brother Shepherd will help you when it just doesn't make sense and you can't make sense of it. I'm sure he'll help you. But Holy Spirit wrote it.
That's right. Right.
He was behind the men.
Amen.
He was moving their hand. So go to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He'll teach you. He'll teach you. Be aware of this. We have a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
Forget everything else.
Amen.
Trust this.
Amen.
Better than anything you could come up with. Pastor.